Welcome to Smutty Scriptures, the podcast where three best friends gather together to explore the holy text of fantasy romance novels. I'm Head Priest Blue Cromwell, and I am joined by my sisters in sin, Cuttlefish and Purple Space Cat, to tell you all about our thoughts on this episode's sacred text. Today we have read the book Praise by Sarah Kate.
And we're going to sing its
praises. Right. I will say, though, this has been, you know, this we were off to kind of a rough start with season three so far. We had one winner so far, and now we're finally getting into some good fucking food. Okay, I'm fed. So thank God, because we all needed this. We all absolutely needed this. So it's safe to say that our general thoughts, very positive at least, right?
Sarah Kate, I love you.
This is a cuddle pick, and I bet you're happy.
It was so good. Mm-hmm. There's so many things about this that, like, I don't feel this book is missing much of anything. It has a strong female main character who ends up discovering things about herself, which we love. We love some personal growth. It's not just her, though, that has growth. All of the characters in the book have personal growth. They have to confront and address some type of trauma / self-worth issues.
Sure.
We talk, she's not a skinny girl.
Mm-mm.
I love that. I was so excited, the fact that she is not a skinny girl.
It's so rare that we actually get any type of variety body type wise.
Well, and it's not shied away from either. Mm-hmm. Like, it's discussed and it's talked about, and it's that's part of what she has to work through, you know? Mm-hmm. And I love the fact that she's able to be a strong woman while also having that bedroom side of her where she plays, you know, the dominated person. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't take away from her identity. And it is so beautifully written. And this character is probably, in my opinion, the most real character. Like, this is the closest to like an actual genuine person, like, today. Mm-hmm. that is writing and experiencing this, and I loved everything about it. I didn't hate one thing.
Yeah, I really appreciated it. It had like a very healthy setup as far as the dynamic of their kink and her venturing into that and having to deal with these questions of what does this mean for like my feminism, what does this mean for my XYZ other aspect of my life. And it's a very healthy distinction that they come to, and obviously she's like coming into it very not in any negative connotation, but she's ignorant to the life and the kinks and everything that's happening here. So of course this is part of her mental journey into that comfort, but it's so nice that we see that mental dialogue addressed, and that we also see it manifest in such a healthy way, which is not something we can always say with books that have some type of BDSM element, even a praise kink. Like, it's just, there's so many bad, toxic, terribly unhealthy versions of books like this that exist. So actually taking the time to build that responsibly is super important.
I agree. It was very pleasantly surprising that she actually does research in the book. She's like, I recognize I don't know shit, so I find out shit. And then she brings this research to the table. And he's like, oh my God,
you're studying?
That's kind of sexy. And they discuss it, and it's all an open conversation, and everything is about consent, and it's fucking delicious.
Mm-hmm.
And it really makes me feel like the author also maybe did some research at some point.
At some point.
And at some point. And I just love that so much. It's refreshing, and it's genuine.
Yeah. Yeah, 100%.
So good.
This is night and day compared to the book that we just read.
Because
this is an example of, and I know this is not a dark romance, but so they're in different genres, but it goes to show you that you can have things like impact play and all those different kinks,
hot wax,
and you can have pain and pleasure. while still having the characters respect each other.
Yes.
And that is so incredibly important. And I love the fact that they talk about it. That's the part that I think is great, is because all of those things that we know in real life would happen, they actually do it in the book. It's not just assumed. Mm-hmm. There is an actual conversation that happens with actual dialogue where they actually talk about actual research.
And it does not take away from any of the sexiness, any of the buildup. If anything, it's like more like it helps add to tension. Of like, I can't wait to get to this scene, but I need to know exactly what the fuck like is okay in this moment, essentially between the two of them.
Yes, I think this is a really fantastic example of the author using those, I guess maybe like the opposite of the trope, like of miscommunication, mm-hmm. like using the opposite of it, over communication, using it in a really good way.
Making it hot.
Oh, shit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I only tagged 5 things. And I was enraptured.
Uh-huh.
And I only tagged 5 things, and they were all just like, Jesus Christ. That's right. Pretty much all my tags. So my tags are not going to be helpful, but it's just because the quality of the writing was so good. I forgot that I was supposed to tag things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love the dichotomy that existed with her relationship, like her ex and then this new person, her ex being someone who made her feel stupid or made her feel little, who made her feel less than, who made her feel all these things, and they had a quote-unquote like normal sex life, and then she goes into a very kinky, she's submissive, he's very much a dom, like they have this kind of dynamic and the relationship is so much healthier, and I loved being able to see that those two things are not related. Ah, it's just good on every fucking level. But the writing itself is really good. I had 1 or 2 minor little things that I was like, why is that there? Like, I wouldn't say this is like a 5 out of 5 for me. It's pretty close. I mean, it's probably like a 3.94. Like, it's on that cusp for me, which is pretty high. I'm pretty big critic.
Do you mean 4.94 or 3.94?
3.9/4-ish. I'm somewhere on the fence. Like, I want to give it a 4, but then I'm like, is it? So I'm still debating. I'm still thinking. But it's really close to that cusp. For me,
I think that the book had me on page 17 where she said, every rational part of my brain is shouting at me to tell this guy to fuck off, get bent, and eat a bag of dicks. But the rational part of my brain is not in control at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what I mean, because I feel like that's a very common way for an actual real person. Mm-hmm. To talk to themselves inside their head, mm-hmm. instead of some of the froofy, frilly language that some other books can have sometimes, or like the proper speech. Like, we don't talk like that to ourselves inside of our head, you know? And I just love that. She's very, very relatable. Very relatable.
And though she's in her 20s.
Yeah. Well, hey, sometimes we read about teenagers, so fuck it. Young 20s, slay.
Do think that one of my favorite parts is got to be on page 24, and this is a part where it's like it cuts a little deep, but the book's not afraid to cut deep because we have to talk about the things that bother us. And at the top of 24, she says, he wasn't any good for me, talking about her ex. It's better to be alone than to be with someone who's bad for you, which is specifically the opposite of what has been said in so many of our books, almost down to the word. You skip down a little bit and the sister replies, I think you dated a jerk because you think you deserve a jerk. Ow. And I had to set my book down and I was like, ow,
mm-hmm.
that hurts a little bit. I need to process this information because I think that might have been true.
Yeah. And then the line right after it about she's calling around is like, I'll have to show mom your e-reader. Let's see how smart she thinks mating the werewolf is. I was like, okay, Sophia, man, you are locked in. Why are we reading the same shit? What's going on here?
You leave my monster smut alone.
I did think that was like a fun little nod that the author did to us. And be like, I see you.
Yeah, I was like, oh.
Dirty dirt.
Yeah, she's really like, I'm going to put a trans character in there with blue hair who has a monster fetish. Sarah, how dare you? How dare you call me out like this?
So was that your favorite part?
You know, yeah, it's really hard for me to pick a favorite. There are so many pieces of this book that I really liked, but I think that sums up a good chunk of what the main character struggles with the majority of the book. I feel a lot of times in romance novels, if we don't have a very secure female main character, she finds her security in the male main character, mm-hmm. that he will accept her for whatever thing, and that through that, she finds her own security and self-worth and value. Kind of like Feyre and Rhys.
Kind of like Corvina and Vlad when he said, build your house on me.
Now, I think it was really, really, really well done that you had several parts of this book that could be linked as milestones to her journey for self-worth and self-esteem and all those things that don't revolve around Grant. For example, she felt very uncomfortable when she went to the auction. Mm-hmm. She didn't think that anybody would bid on her because she didn't feel like she had value. And then again, it not really having anything to do with Grant, because there's another character that was in a bidding war with him. But it was the conversations that she had in the line in the startup. It was the conversations that she had with the madam at the conversations that she had with Grant. The fact that she went up there and had all this, and she's just sitting there going like, wow, this, like, people like this and the way that, because they don't know anything about her, right? They're just judging based off of looks. I mean, they can see it in her eyes or, yeah. Okay. But to have her have those moments where he's doing his own thing, he's over there, he's 5,800 feet away in the audience doing the bidding thing. So he's kind of tangentially involved, but it's not him saying, oh my God, look, you're like amazing and you should think you're amazing because I love you. Mm-hmm. You know, it's this process that she goes through that isn't based off of him saying no, because you're like hot and stuff.
Yeah.
I think that was my favorite thing. And I know that kind of happened over several little pieces, but that's what I got to say is my favorite.
Yeah, it was nice to see someone in a submissive role through this course of this book become so empowered by that. And how much power in a healthy BDSM dynamic a sub has. And the confidence that can come from, even though she's very focused at first on like his pleasure, his everything, like even just having that and like giving herself permission to be this type of person when this is not something she's been exposed to. She's been exposed to a lot of the opposite mindset, and just even giving herself that freedom at the beginning to even research. Okay, I have preconceived notions about this. Let me actually research what the fuck I'm talking about. And then, you know, find her empowerment through these different aspects, you know? It's good stuff.
Agree. My favorite is less about the emotional side of it. We already knew that she was going to go on some sort of a, you know, journey. I really like the fact that they did the checklist, because they actually had everything written out and said, you know, is this all good? Do you want to do that? Is it a soft limit, a hard limit? And like, he actually made her do the checklist and he had her come up with a safe word. Those, I think that's probably the only book that I have ever read in my entire life where they actually did that and they actually talked about, hey, what? Yeah, I see your face. What?
50 Shades of Grey did it, but they did it.
We don't talk about that.
But 50 Shades is not a good representation.
It's not good at all.
I have a gun.
But they did the rest of that sentence.
Don't fucking play with me. Don't even bring up her name in this conversation.
Okay. Sorry.
My point was that they actually went there and they didn't like put it behind the scenes or whatever, that Sarah actually had it in the forefront, like, look, this is what you're doing. This is important. Here's why. we didn't have to look at everything that was on the list. That's fine. But the fact that they talked about each individual thing,
mm-hmm.
even if it was just like in a written down kind of a way, that is so good. I just love that so much. And yeah. I tagged one thing where I said, oh my God, that is so hot. But it was whenever he, and of course it says location 3160. So I don't fucking know where it is in the book because Kindle is all shitty and weird. He told her he memorized every single thing
mm-hmm. oh, that yes.
he wrote on that list. I was like, we were, hold yeah. on. Not only did he A, read it, mm-hmm. but he, hold on.
Yeah. Whew. If it was physically possible for me to get a boner, I would have had one right then. I bricked. What do you mean you memorized it?
Who needs Viagra when you have a man that pays attention?
Low key. Yeah, what a good dynamic.
So good. So good. And just the fact that the safe word was mercy is also really
That's cool. actually so hot. I texted my partner immediately and I was like, we have a new safe word. This is what it is now. That's good. Yeah, it's so fun that they, not only do they show like all the positives of being submissive and what that can do for a person and their mentality and the genuine joy, even though it unsettles her at first, that she experiences for playing that role, but they also don't make the dominant like this, he's not purposely testing her limits on things she hasn't said she's curious about. He right. establishes a safe, but there are doms out there that will tell you like safe words are like for pussies. Like yeah. they will not like, that's so unhealthy, bro. Yeah, that's the most insane criminal diabolical ass shit I've ever fucking heard. So he does, and this character's not like that. That
is so Binding Rose.
It is. And I, like, I hate it.
That is so Binding Rose of you.
It is. And some people get that in their mindset that that's like what this is like. And maybe that's okay for a dark romance book, but it is not okay in real life. And our characters don't ever take advantage of that. Like, that's never something where. It's the being the dom in the scenario. He's not taking any pleasure from like the idea of actually physically causing her harm, doing anything she hasn't expressed any interest in or any curiosity about. Sure, he pushes her boundaries on like safe things and like where he can like, he's like, yeah, go voyeur around. Like, let me, I want to know what you think. I want to do this. But these are things she's initiating herself. And he's just like, I am also I'm watching the scenario as it plays out.
Big difference in see what you think and you better do it.
Oh, 100%. 100%.
So hold on.
Yeah. And she's initiating a lot of this, their dynamic in the first place. Like there's just so many good elements of all the positives about being a sub, but also how to be a good dom, like how to actually be good. And I even like when they go through that checklist conversation, like you were referencing. He's like, because she had marked a couple things as far as like, I don't know, like spanking or something else. And he was like, I don't really do a lot of impact play or I don't do XYZ yeah. or whatever. So he had his own boundaries. He had his own list.
Right. Yeah.
He is not like, this is very much what this is supposed to be. This is supposed to be how much of this checklist matches with your checklist. So what can we do together? Like, it, right. it's never about like, that's not on your list. Yeah, I'm going to do it anyway because, like, I'm the one, like, in charge of the scenario.
Yeah.
Girl, no. And she's not allowed to be in that scenario. Like, you need to do X, Y, and Z when he says he's uncomfortable with it. So it's just so, oh, it's so healthy. I cannot praise it enough in that regard. I love that. But they also don't, like, hesitate to push a little, which I liked. Again, stuff on things that she's already expressed interest in. A room that they already expressed interest in. Because I was going to say, my favorite part and my favorite sex scene are kind of like tied together. I really liked after the auction when they are in that one like secluded room. This is when there's a bed. When they do the candle wax, the whole nine yards. I loved that scene. I loved the auction. I loved the fact that she had a mark of his, like, on her already. They had already done some things, and she had his, like, bite mark on her ass. Cute.
Rawr.
Gonna say I like it. That whole scene, the confidence it gave her is lovely. And then them being intimate afterwards, and he's breaking down these walls to get to an emotional point to understand, like, here's how valuable you are. And here's how intrinsically valuable you are just existing in this space, in any space. And he really gets to the root of why she feels so, at a core level, invaluable to herself. And she's emotional, and she starts getting, and she's checking in. He's taking off her blindfold at one point. She's in tears. The whole scene dynamic changes. Like, she knows the safe word. He's not stopping anything necessarily, but he undoes the restraints on her legs. He does certain things to, like, change the scene and make it a little bit more comfortable, because she's clearly getting to this really intimate part of their whole relationship dynamic in this core aspect of herself that she's probably realistically thinking about the first time. And I think being able to set up a dom that can get you to that in a really healthy way, and then having her feel comfortable and feel safe in that scene to be so expressive and to be so aware. I mean, she's a little embarrassed. She's like crying. She like turns away. She's like,
no.
But she's <Don't look at me. laughs> but she's able to say these things and to be so vulnerable and so safe with him. And he just adjusts and maneuvers based on her emotional state and gives her a safe space to feel that. And essentially is trying to correct this like negative self loop that's in her head. And I was like, you're getting all of this dynamic. You're getting this like hot scene. You're getting this whole auction, this whole thing. There's a possessive element to it, which of course I do like. But he was like jealous. He's like, okay, all right, enough fucking playing games. Like, that's mine. nice try. That's not the scenario. I'm not sharing her. That's not something we like or we agree to. So I'm going to spend $75,000. But whoa. I loved everything.
This is going to cost me a lot of money.
Yeah, immediately he's like, fuck. But he's so willing to even do that just to be able to get to that conversation with her. It's such a testament to true intimacy. And something about that both A, did something for me, and then also like just made me like, at that point, I didn't know what my favorite sex scene was. I had some moments that I liked, but that took the whole cake for me. It's too good.
I agree. I highlighted, do you want me to fuck you, baby girl? Yes, I cry out. Then tell me you're worth it. Tell me how beautiful you are.
Like, that is the ultimate praise kink, of making them praise themselves because they don't feel it. Are you kidding?
I mean, like we do with your stream?
I have a gun.
So do you
not
feel
another step
like
closer?
He's the character is able to do that because there's clearly a difference in age.
Yeah.
This is an age gap book. Mm-hmm. So do you feel like he's able to recognize these pieces, to have that vulnerability, to have that intimacy level and be comfortable with it and comfortable with himself because he is so much more mature and so much more older than his son?
I think there's a lot wrong with his son. I think that's a whole other can of worms.
Literally a whole other book.
Right. I don't think that you need to be in an age gap scenario to experience that. I think a lot of that can relate to therapy, how you're raised, personal work that you've already done. I think in their dynamic, yes, she is very much benefiting from the fact she has a very emotionally mature man. But you also have to take into consideration, obviously this is a book, of course this is not how it played out, but there are a lot of age gap, whether it's male or female, being the older, more powerful one who does take advantage and is more wanting someone easily to like manipulate. So I think it's like a double-edged sword. Obviously, that is not the scenario in this book at all.
So if he was same age and best friend, would it, instead of dad, would it have changed the story, do you think?
No, not in that scene. Like, not in that dynamic. I think that's a conversation you can have. I think it's really about the vulnerability of two people. Because if she wasn't able to open up in that scene and he's just like, tell me you're worth it, tell me like you're this or like whatever, I think it's very possible to exist in that scenario, in that sex scene, and to not feel anything.
Yeah.
So I think it's more so about her willingness to submit. Like, that is a form of submission, to be that vulnerable and to allow that. I think she's fully given herself to him at that point, like thorns and all, so to speak. Not to make another Binding Rose reference, but thorns and all, she has given herself to him and submitted to him and given him this emotional side of her. And I think it's very possible that, because that's part of the power that a sub has in that dynamic, to be honest. So I think it more so relates to he created that scenario for her to feel safe. He created that and is aware of herself enough and how she feels about herself. All of these things are true. The maturity there, the emotional intelligence there, 100%. But there's also a huge amount of emotional intelligence and trust and vulnerability that she is giving in that scene that I think she could hypothetically give to anyone as long as she was in that scenario and she had that trust, you know?
Hard to build, though.
Very hard to build. Very, very difficult. And he's shown it to her in actions a lot up until this point. I don't, you know, there's a reason why this scene is also toward the end of the book.
Right.
This is not something that, like, even a few times in the scenario, like, her trust from him comes from little moments. It comes from your car went out and you didn't fail me. Like, I would help you with this. You walked a mile in heels for me. I'm going to, like, massage your feet. Like, he sees everything, every little thing that she does. And every little moment where she needs, like, to almost, like, not even necessarily be reassured, but just where an opportunity for trust on an intrinsic, you're gonna take care of me type of vibe that exists, that had to be the prerequisite for the scene, in my opinion.
Purple, do you agree or disagree or think that the age or relationship between him and...
Yeah, feel free to say yeah. Like, that's just my perspective of the scene, so that's what I'm bringing to it.
Really difficult to find a younger than him man who is as emotionally intelligent and mature.
This is Bookland, so you can have whatever you want.
Right. I'm saying in real life, I think that it is extremely difficult to find that level of maturity and emotional intelligence in somebody that is, you know, 20 years younger than him.
Mm-hmm.
It's not impossible, but it's extremely difficult. So I think that, you know, a lot of that comes with age and it comes with experiences that you've gone through.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I am not the person that I was 20 years ago or 10 years ago or 5 years ago. I have grown in different ways. Everybody does. We've gone through our own shit. He's gone through his shit,
mm-hmm.
and it made him who he is. Bo went through some stuff and it made Bo who Bo is.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't want to say that the reason why all of this worked out was because he was older,
mm-hmm.
but it didn't hurt.
Yeah, it didn't hurt.
Also, sure. We all love older.
I've been there. I just, maybe it's because I'm a little biased right now in my, like, personal life. I feel like I have more of this kind of dynamic with someone who's younger than me. Granted, emotional intelligence can, you know, life will come at you in certain type of ways and force you to grow in certain things. So, like, again, that's why I usually do date older. Not the case right now, but I'm having a way healthier, loving, aware dynamic and healthy communication that I've never had with an older man. Sorry. Sorry, y'all. But I just don't know how to pick them, honestly, though. That's on me. Not to slander any, you know, older men listening to this. I assume you're not.
It's all right, older man. I got you. Let's go.
Yeah, I think the scene for me would have had the same impact if it was someone of a similar age and they had already established that level of trust. But yeah, the age didn't hurt. That's
what about you? At all?
I think the age definitely played a role. I don't think it would have been the same if he was. I think it would have taken the forbiddenness away and it would have been betrayal instead. I know that there is obviously going to be a hint of betrayal because dad. But I think it would have been.
Right.
But I think that betrayal would have been deeper and harder for Bo to get past had it been best friend. Bo would not have had his little knee arc where Bo is kind of coming to terms with accepting of
what's happening.
I'm not going to say accepting. I'm going to say tolerating.
Yeah, sure. That's a better word.
Because I don't think that he's there yet. I think that would have been great, but that's he's not the focus. He has his own book. Mm-hmm. So what, for those of you who don't know, this is part of the Salacious Players Club, which is like, I don't know, what, 10 books or something like that?
No, not as many.
Not as many? There's multiple. One, five? Two. Yeah, like five or six. There's several. And each of them as far as I know, because I haven't read them at this point, revolve around different characters that we have already met. The Madam has a book. The other bidder, I forget his name, he has a book.
Dude number two.
And the guy that showed her the throne room, who actually I kind of like.
Yeah, I kind of liked him too. Yeah, that was interesting.
I was like, oh, okay, right? Is this a white shoes? No, okay, that's fine, I guess. And I think that I can't remember if it was like the construction worker guy, who I did not like, by the way.
Sure.
The one who had her put in the sex toy and then like fucked around.
Yeah, no.
I do not like that.
I like what that scene came into. Like, they're like, he's like, you know, all right, I'm taking you out of here. We're going out to lunch. I'm trying this shit for myself. You already got the shit in? Sorry. Mm-hmm. We're going to the deli. Yeah, figure it out.
They didn't go to the deli. They went to a nice restaurant.
They
did go to a deli at a second point.
And then he basically punished her with pleasure. Mm-hmm. Which I thought was funny.
Yeah.
I was supposed to think it was funny, but it was pretty funny.
It was funny.
You know what else I thought was funny? Chapter 12. Why are all of the books that we read, do they all have feet stuff?
What about the last one? Did it have feet stuff?
Binding Rose?
Did it have anything with feet? I don't think it did.
I don't think it would have saved the book.
I think the main character probably thought if he gave a woman a foot massage for well enough, he would give them a world-shattering orgasm. So probably.
Oh, yeah. Probably. For sure. She would have.
He's so confident in every ability he doesn't have.
Oh, but it was so funny because I read this and I tagged it. I'm like, we have to talk about this. Mm-hmm. Page 87 in the book says, this is after she walked in heels and he kind of feels like an ass. So he's rubbing her feet because they hurt. So she tenses, her eyes finding me. And in that moment, I feel like the world's biggest creep. I wasn't doing this to get off or turned on. I was doing this because I wanted her to feel good. But even now, that sounds predatory in my head. I'm an HR nightmare waiting to happen.
HR nightmare is incredible.
And that's what I mean is I love that. Like, could you imagine Reese saying something like that? Absolutely not. Never. Reese would never. He does not talk like that. And I love the fact that this one does.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of makes me want to be an HR nightmare for Halloween next year.
Iconic.
I also really thoroughly enjoyed, unsurprisingly, I didn't know that I would like this. In chapter 16, she was supposed to get something for him and she goes, stand up. And he's like, crawl there for me. And I was like, okay, I don't know how I feel about that. And then she goes over there and my lips part and my body is flooded with heat. Yes, sir. I reply. He moves out of the way so I can crawl to my desk where the printed paper sits next to my laptop. Grabbing it off the desk, I hesitate for a moment, not sure how to crawl and carry it in your teeth, he replies, noticing my uncertainty.
Ugh, direction in the moment. Wow.
Oh, God, directions.
Wow.
It reminded it reminded me of Priest.
Mm.
Oh.
When she crawled on the floor with the
Walking Dead shirt.
Okay.
With the liquor on her back.
Yeah, I'm into the whole crawling.
Apparently that's a thing.
All of that dynamic. But of course, I'm a switch and very submissive right now. So
I don't know. Reading that, my knees just hurt. Maybe it's because of mold.
It's only temporary. You like kneel. She has a pillow, which is also realistic as fuck that she has an actual pillow for her knees. Iconic.
So we've sung this book's praises quite a bit. I want to know what your least favorite part is.
Cuddles, do you even have one?
I'm trying to think.
You're like, when it was over? I hated that part.
When I didn't get more?
Okay, you know what? I do have one, but I think it's a very shallow gripe. I think in general, over the book, that whole thing, it went a little long.
You're like, forbidden for like 2 minutes and then over.
Yeah. Yeah. I was like, okay, I get it. You're not supposed to, but do it anyways. It's a very shallow gripe because I recognize that that's a me problem, not the book's problem. But yeah, I was like, oh my God, like, okay, just get to it already. And then they did. And then I was like,
please.
Maybe also because we didn't get enough of some of the other characters that I would have liked to see more of. But again, they have their own books. So it's a very shallow gripe. It's not... I really can't think of very much that I didn't like about the book. I read the book in one sitting. I could not put it down.
Wow. I just had little things. I liked so much about it that I'm kind of pulling at straws, but it's just little stuff like that like sticks out to me. It didn't take away too much from like the rating of everything, but there's a couple moments that like it just feels like maybe like a small detail or two is like taken out, and it's like weird that it's like not remember. For example, one of the first ones that got me, because I was still kind of like, oh, like what am I thinking about this book? It's literally page 2. And there's a mark where he says he put his empty glass down on the table and he's having a conversation with everybody, like Garrett and everyone like that, blah, blah. So they're having all these little conversation. It's literally one page. They're at a bar. There's no mention of anyone like getting another drink, like nothing. It basically just says that he sets down his empty glass on the table. And then like a couple paragraphs later, he takes a drink from his empty glass, which I was like, it's empty. Like, hey, stop that. So just like little things like that where I'm like, what do you mean you took a drink out of it? You just put it down this page.
Maybe
you just put it down.
Melt. Okay.
It says empty glass. It says empty.
Well, you could be empty of drink and just have ice in it.
How many times have I had like a cup of coffee and then I pick it up and I'm like, oh shit, it's empty.
Well, then yeah, he visibly is like, he says he takes a drink. I take a drink is literally the quote on the page that's right after his empty drink. Like, bro, what are you drinking? The
bartender is just on point and auto refilling.
Oh my goodness. Oh, and then there's another one. There was page 40. I was like, wait, what? Because we know a little bit about like her past jobs, how she met Beau, all this fun stuff. This is the scene where she's buying lingerie essentially for her new job. Which is a crazy title, by the way. Avoid malls for the risk of running into your ex while holding bags of lingerie you fantasize wearing for his dad. Huh? Don't write that in a sentence. That's crazy. But that's fine. The main point that she mentions, you know, we know she works at this roller rink. We know, like, how that fits into her life. We have certain scenes there, all this fun stuff. And she writes down, after buying the underwear in both black and white, I spend my whole check from the coffee shop on clothes for my new job. I'm like, was she supposed to work at a coffee shop at first? Like, I was like, what happened to the roller rink? We don't work there anymore? Like, I was very confused by little things like that where it just felt like, because they even reference, they probably don't take their sister roller skating every Saturday night, blah, 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 because, and then like a paragraph later is page 40, where she's like, I spent my whole check from the coffee shop. I'm like, bitch, you, how many jobs you got? You're a barista? I was like, okay.
She's very busy.
She's definitely working. So just like little things like that, I kept picking up where I was just like, hey, what do you mean by that?
Oh, your page 40 and my page 40 must be different.
Yeah, this is it's chapter 6, if that. I mean, she does mention that she met Beau in like a coffee shop, like working at a coffee shop or something. But then she talks distinctly about working at the roller rink and then is like, damn, I spent my whole check from the coffee shop. I'm like, bitch, you haven't worked there. Like, continuity. So just little dumb stuff like that, that I was just like, little stuff like that kind of takes me out of the moment sometimes, is I'm like, wait, huh? What do you mean by that? What do you mean you sit down your empty glass and then you pick it up immediately after and then you take a drink? What's in there? What is in there? So just little stuff like that is where I was not like super understanding what was happening, but it's very little stuff. I assume that it's just like little bits that like just kind of made it through some edits. So that's realistically my only least favorite.
I'm trying to find it.
I found it. She's not talking. She's,
yeah,
it's an internal monologue.
Internal monologue, yeah.
It's the third paragraph down.
Yeah, chapter 6. Does that help?
I'm in the right chapter. I'm just trying to.
From the start of chapter six, you have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Yeah, because on the first page of chapter 6, she says, we met at a coffee shop I worked at. And then he also worked there for a small amount of time, yada, yada. But then she says he stopped coming to work and got fired. But we stuck together. So she's talking about how she worked there in the past. And then I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
What do you mean by that? So I think the author was just like, you know, so they had just referenced it. Again, maybe that was the original thing. Like she was still working at the coffee shop. I don't really know where that comes from. But so there's just a couple little continuity things that I was like, hey, wait, what are we doing here? Because I was still early on in the book, so I didn't know like how it was going to flow.
Right.
But those are really the only few ones that I found. I'm sure there's a couple more, but it's just very little minuscule details. Not anything worth like affecting the score of the book. Just enough where I was like, it was jarring to me.
My least favorite part was every single time Bo opened his mouth.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to have to go ahead and agree with that one.
Just, he was there, and it was, I didn't like it.
Yeah.
They were like, Bo! And I was like, God damn it.
Yeah. Not Listen, my favorite.
I think Bo reminds me of my ex-husband. And I was just like,
I think we've all dated a Bo.
Hate this.
I think we've all dated someone like that.
Wanted to just, like, hit the book over my head and be like, no, I am divorced! Stop making me relive this.
Blue, you said that those things are not enough to have adjusted the score for you, but you aren't rating it perfect. So what did adjust the score for you? Why is it not a 5? Like, why is it not 5 for you?
I think for me, I am not a praise kink person in general. So I think if I'm looking at it as a story, it's still pretty good. I do think some of the characters could have probably gone through some more development. Not that there isn't any. But I would say at least in the terms of like smut is probably my first go-to with that question. I've always been more of a degradation type of person. That's always where I've kind of naturally gravitated to in books and in my personal life and as far as what I enjoy. So it's definitely not written for me in the sense of kinks. Like, I like praise. Trust me, I like a little praise. I like a little praise with a little degradation in it. Like, you're my good little slut or something like that. Like, I love a remix. Okay. But it's not kinks that are meant for me. Like, I gave this, like, for example, I gave Ensnared a 4.5 because that has a lot of things that are specific to me, right? Like, I do have a monster thing. We joke about it all the time. But let's be honest. I have a monster thing. I have an alien thing. I probably just feel like I cannot be loved by someone who understands how to judge humans and their inabilities. And the only way for me to feel safe is them having no context, right? Like, I know that that comes from somewhere deep within me and my inability to feel human myself. I know that. That's fine. But that's why that book would, like, I get more immersed in the story when I can enjoy those certain elements. So I'm not against a praise kink. I'm not against it. But I was like a little disappointed. I love that they had the conversation, but when he was talking about like, don't really like impact play, I was like, oh, damn it. Oh, damn it. Like, wait, what?
Like, I was really hoping.
Like, a little bit. Like, wait. So there were scenes like that where I was like, God damn it. Okay. Like, it still had stuff that I enjoyed. I like the setup with the club. There's also a lot of public stuff. Like, for example, like their first kind of foray into it when she's like watching someone. Well, multiple people, I suppose, and he's like, touch yourself, this whole thing. That scene's not for me. I don't have anything against it, but like the public thing, right. I know that's maybe some personal favorites around here, and that's wonderful. It doesn't do anything for me.
Right.
So there's just certain elements like that, that would keep it from being like a perfect type of score.
So would you be down to read the other books to see if one of the other members of the Salacious Players Club are for you?
I don't know if I could read the Bo one, but I think potentially some other options I wouldn't be against. I like this writer. I like the author. I think that it's just that the audience that she's appealing to with this book is just not me 100% of the time, and that's more than okay. But to say there's not like little flaws in the writing or maybe some of the characterization or maybe time spent on certain things. Like, I also think the forbidden aspect goes on way too long. I think there's certain things about it that I'm like, but I don't think the author's bad. I think this is one of the more standouts of books that we've read. So I would read more of this author's work, 100%, 100%.
What about you, Purples? What was the things that made it not a 5-star for you? Just because I'm just curious. That's all. I want to know for me.
Well, you remember I got about halfway through and then I called you and I was like, damn it. Like, can they fucking quit it already? With this? No, we can't.
No.
It has to be a secret. Nobody can know. And I'm like, fucking why? Mm-hmm. No, just goddamn it, be a fucking adult. I hated that part so much. And I get it. But it just pisses me off. We're like, no, we have to be secret. We can't talk about it. Nobody can know. Literally everybody already knows.
Yeah. Everyone's assuming.
You are not subtle.
No, not at all.
The opposite of subtle.
Mm-hmm.
I hated that.
Yeah, it went on for a long time.
It gets better. And I was like, okay, but like with Bo. And you're like, nope, it wraps up. It's fine.
I'm excited to read the other ones. I think I would really be interested in reading the one with the madam, though. Oh my gosh. Yes.
I think I would too.
She was hot.
Mm-hmm. Hell yeah.
I hated her so much that Emerson opened the door. I was like, Emerson!
Please! Yeah, I would love to read her book. I would like to read a couple other characters. I really don't know if I could read Bo's. I mean, maybe if he really goes through like a cool character arc, like cool, but like I just don't see. Like, I guess he tolerates it at the end of this book, but I just don't see him becoming so enraptured in that world, you know? So it'd be, It's still like, it's a very big suspension of disbelief. Not that Sarah can't necessarily, pull it off, but I'm already going into it with this guy sucks. Like, he cheated on her, like this, I don't know. Like,
yeah.
Like, I'm not like, once a cheater, always a cheater type of person. I'm not, but like, he kind of fucking sucks.
Have you guys seen those videos on TikTok about the dudes playing little skits like your broke ass boyfriend?
No.
There's a couple of them that I follow. One is like a bigger dude that's got the snake bites and he's like in his 40s or something. And there's another one though. And he is like, broke ass boyfriend in his 20s. And he's a big dude and he's blonde. And I'm just like, oh, that's bald. Fuck me. I hate it so much.
Real. Real as fuck.
I don't know who that guy is in his TikTok, but every time that he opens his mouth, I'm just like, I hate it so much. Mm-hmm. He's doing such a good job. And that's who Bo is.
Fair.
Just want to hit him with my car. Or maybe actually borrow someone else's car so that way I don't get Bo in my car.
Understood.
So what would you guys say is something that surprised you about or surprised you in the story? Not necessarily about the story.
For me, it was how much I liked it without having that degradation included. Mm. There's been a lot of books that I don't feel have set up that we've already read that have set up Praise Kings or like elements of it. About praise being included. And maybe it's because a lot of the times we read that in the context of like, someone's like, teach me, which like, ugh, brother, ugh. Like, I'm sorry, I'm too old to be reading that. I'm sure it would have been great for me to read as a young adult, but. So I really like the praise element. I was surprised by how much I liked the praise kink.
So I think one of the things that surprised me, which I guess it really wasn't a surprise as much as just it's an interesting thing in that that is one, her mom was so supportive.
Mm-hmm.
And two, it almost felt like she was slightly neglectful.
Mm.
Yeah. Oh. I kind of was like, I feel like she should be in the story more. She should.
And mom was working hard, though.
I'm not dogging on mom. Please don't think I am. I'm just saying I feel like. Looking back, I'm like, yeah, mom really wasn't around a whole lot. And I feel like if you are a younger adult and you're experiencing something so incredibly different, that might be a person, especially one who's super supportive. Like, you maybe just bring it up, you talk to her about it and be like, hey, like, is, you know, do you have any experience with this? Do you have any advice, mom? You know what I mean? I don't know. Just was a little like, oh, okay, not bad. I'm not upset about it. Mm-hmm. But it was just like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Was that she threw Bo out of her room and she's like, she didn't sleep with him. Because in real life, I feel like most likely you would have slept with him. Would have had that little bit of like a, oh, and then been like, oh no, right afterwards.
Personal growth.
I know, I love it. It was personal growth. It was a good surprise. I was yeah, like, that is a good surprise. You go, girl. Throw that motherfucker out the room. Hit him with your car. No, it's a little far. All right, we'll just don't let him stick it in you.
Don't let him stick it. Okay, you're both done.
I think we're all in agreement of our least favorite character.
Fuck Bo.
Yeah, Bo has to go.
Who's your favorite character?
Emerson. I got to just...
You can't not have it be Emerson.
Emerson's good.
My ovaries are speaking for me. So.
Your ovaries?
Oh my god. Yeah.
Emerson's good.
With my ovaries. Don't mind me.
Mm-hmm.
What else? Yeah.
The Madam Kink lady is pretty cool.
Yeah. Yes.
What?
Yeah.
The Madam Kink lady. Kind of loved her. Kind of iconic. Yeah. Kind of a fave every time she showed up.
Again, yes. Mm-hmm. And I love that she was portrayed as someone who was an educator.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved that because I feel like that is. It is like a very real thing. Not that like, oh my God, like, no, those people exist. But realistic. Yeah. It was very tangible, close to reality.
Yeah. And she never shames our main character for asking questions. Because even she's like, so did you and Emerson ever? And she's like, I mean, she says it a lot nicer, but she's like, no, sweetie. I am also a dumb. This would not work. We are not switches. You know, so she's like, you know, both of us like to be in charge, so to speak. And then even she's like, oh, yeah, duh. But she doesn't know the intricacies of this community, of this people, like really? Anything. But she's just so cool. Like, I of course, I love Emerson. Of course, I love her. Sophie's cool. Like, there's a lot of good characters. But something about her, like, always showing up. Like, I'm definitely the most interested in her book and the scenes that she was involved in. I'm like, hell yeah.
I'm interested to see how she could have growth. Like, where is her flaw? I kind of want to know that because if you
I
have
don't
a character,
no, because I think she's perfect the way she is.
Real.
If you have it,
if you have an extremely non-judgmental character and someone who's very knowledgeable about the scene, where is her room to grow?
Well, maybe it's a backstory.
Yeah,
it could be a prequel, like going into like how they got into that point and how they became like comfortable being a dom, maybe even like that could be an interesting journey.
Or hear me out. The book could just be nonstop amazingness with this lady.
Yeah.
No arc. We're just fucking people.
Just fucking.
Just fucking.
Sarah, throw the plot out the window. I want her to fuck.
Yes. Everybody else, they can have plot. Everybody, that's fine. But this book, just the sex. Like, I'm not even even if you just showed her eating a cheeseburger, it would be sexy. Just be like,
I think it'd be kind of cool to see her as like somewhat of a coach, somewhat of her an educator, like leading her into these other things, and then maybe getting her backstory and. Maybe there's like a power struggle dynamic she has with someone. Like, I would love to see like why she is so dominant. Is it because she is truly like, this is the way that I am, which is fine. Is it because she's uncomfortable being submissive? Is it because of prior experiences? Like, is that trauma she works through? Because even our Emerson
in the back of an alley,
like even Emerson, though, it like he submits to her every once in a while, right? Like, we get these scenes with our two main characters where, like, he is like, I want to worship you. Like, this isn't always, like, you know, there is wiggle room. There are power play. Like, yes, I'm in charge most of the time. Yes, I'm doing this, all of this. But, like, I want right now to be all about you. Maybe there's some element of her character that's so uncomfortable with that idea and has to be in charge because of anxieties. Like, I think that could be really cool to play out with, like, allowing that shield to go down a little bit. I'm not saying that has to be that. Like, you could just be dominant because, like, you like it. Like, I just think that would be a fun element of where they could go with some growth. So we'll see if it plays out that way.
Did you guys have any unanswered questions?
It's just, what are the other books going to be like?
Yeah.
Question that did not get answered.
Oh, okay.
What is the address of the club?
How do I join?
Right.
Are you hiring?
Yeah. How do I get to be in this auction?
Exactly.
How do I get to be here?
Did you identify with anybody?
Sophie.
Main character, baby.
Sophie as fuck. Sophie likes to go to anime conventions. They're trans and have blue hair. Yeah. Yeah. And they like to read monster romance. Yeah.
They're nothing like you.
They're basically, nothing at all. They are me on paper. Like, that's insane. I was like, I'm feeling so attacked right now. What's happening? They're like, yeah, she wants to go to this anime convention. She wants to do this. I'm like, girl, god damn it.
You know, you felt attacked by that. I felt attacked by the fact that homegirl worked at a roller rink. It's like, how much more millennial can you get?
Yeah, that's interesting.
I did not realize that they were still around.
Yeah, there's still some local game. They are
like, whoa. It's like, why you blasted me back to my past like that? What the fuck's wrong with you?
Yeah, what a throwback.
Have you ever been to One Blue? No.
They have them. They're still around, like, in my area, but I've never gone. I don't like to be on wheels.
How would you know?
I don't like to be on wheels. I don't ride bikes. I don't roller skate.
I like to be on wheels. How do you drive?
Four wheels is okay. Two is not.
Iditarod?
And them in a row, also not okay. I don't like ice skating either.
Trains are out for you then.
Oh,
trains are fine.
Jesus. Nope, that's wheels on tracks.
Yeah, but they're in, like, they're not in one straight row. You got two rows. You got way more than two wheels.
You said rows.
That's twice the number of straight rows.
I have a gun.
So yeah. The character we would most like to lecture, I'm sure, is the same exact person.
No.
No? All right, I have two, so go ahead.
Okay. I already said it a little bit, but I want to lecture Emerson about why we do not interrupt the very hot ladies doing the thing. Mm-hmm. We leave them alone. Mm-hmm. We watch through the window. Mm-hmm. I am there. Stopping them. Mm-hmm. The fuck is wrong with you?
Real.
Were you raised in a barn?
Yeah, I mean, I guess Bo. I was going to say, like, the mom's not, maybe I should probably give a little bit more feedback and care about her daughter's activities. But at the same time, she also dated someone who left because their kid was trans. So maybe she doesn't have that good of advice in the stockpile. I don't know.
I was going to say dad.
Yeah, dad.
Yeah.
Dad and Bo deserve each other. Actually, dad, Bo, and dad's colleague deserve
The one that was really weird about the sex toy thing at first with her. Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't like that one either.
Well, then the guy who outed her to her dad.
Oh, yeah. Mystery person that we don't know who it was, who saw her.
Not that guy.
Who saw her at the club, yeah.
And outed her to dad.
Yeah, I thought you were talking about the one that, like, when she first got that insertion.
That one, too.
Toy, or the vibrating toy or whatever.
Oh. I was surprised that Drake stuck around, because he was the dude that was in charge of construction. Why was he there when it was already literally constructed?
Party. He's a member.
Ew.
I think he was part of the original team, wasn't he? I'd have to go back and look. I don't remember.
I'd have to, yeah.
I don't know.
All right, guys. The moment. The unsurprising moment.
Mm-hmm.
Gotta be Big Daddy Emerson.
For Bay of the Day.
For Bay of the Day.
I just...
Ugh.
Who would you rather have, him or Cassian?
Wait, hold on.
I'm just curious.
Before we, I need to know if the club comes with it.
Yeah. But then Perinthian comes with Cassian.
Emerson.
Ooh, no hesitation?
No hesitation.
Wow.
I'm going to say Emerson, too.
Wow. Over Cassian?
Yeah.
Over Reese?
Yes.
Yeah.
Wow.
Okay.
He's got a beard.
Okay. I'm following. So does Cassian, I'm pretty sure, most of the time.
No.
So let's think about this. We have an age gap no matter what, but I would rather the age gap be at like 10 to 20 years rather than 450. Okay, so there's that.
Second, we
are not the same species.
Oh, yeah. That's a good
point.
Why do y'all care about that so much, bro? That is not on my list. I don't even think about that.
Cassian's got wings, though.
Yeah,
Cassian,
you can make him come with his wings.
Cassian has some issues occasionally about being a little premature.
So he gets a little excited.
It's fine. That's totally. He could teach me how to fight my enemies.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
I don't think Emerson could do that.
Emerson can teach you how to love yourself.
So can Cassian.
I don't know if I could date someone with kids. I think I'd pick Cassian. I think I'd be especially because I fucked their kid. That would be weird. It would be one thing, they have children. I was in a 1.5 year relationship with their child. Yeah, I'm sorry, buddy.
Charlotte just wanted to complete the set.
Now, hold on. You didn't say that I would be the female main character. I didn't think that's what
I mean,
was
that
happening.
Comes along with Emerson.
If that's the case, then I would, because then I would be Feyre.
No, you'd be Nesta.
Well, yeah, you'd be Nesta. Unless you're picking Reese, I guess.
Yeah. So if I am the female main character love interest, that completely changes the question.
I think it's more you showing up in that way rather than taking the place in that scenario.
I don't know what that means.
That I, instead of Nesta, insert
you
me,
are
but in
you.
That world.
Yeah.
I'm good. Okay, I'm going to go with Cassian.
Mm. Yeah, I don't want to be 20.
Okay, that's it. All right.
Again, Reese is the one I want. Cassian is the one I need.
I know.
It's fine.
Oh, geez.
Hey, look at it this way. With Cassian makes a lot of money from Reese, right? So he can make his own club.
Can Az be in the club?
Yes. I think he would just watch.
He should.
I don't think that would be bad.
You're like, okay. Yeah, good.
I need Sarah and Sarah to team up.
I'm seeing what you're putting down. A little bit of a melding happening.
But you gotta bring that lady over.
Okay, Madam Key comes along. Got it.
Madam comes over, and that is as is.
More.
She becomes a fae.
More. And then that lady.
I'm following. I'm seeing it.
Boar's girlfriend.
We're interlocking fingers. I think we get the. I see what's happening. Right.
I will give you all of my money.
Hold on, that's not how you do the thing, though. If I remember from Binding Rose,
if I ever have to read scissoring his digits inside of someone again, it'll be over. I will end my own career. I literally cannot fucking do it, dude. No fucking way.
Welcome to the last episode.
Goofy. It is getting to that time, though, where we should be wrapping up. Of course, we want to thank you guys for listening. This has been Smutty Scriptures reading Praise by Sarah Kate. We have done a complete read of this. Next episode, we are diving into... I don't remember.
Oh, shit, I forgot.
I think it's Requiem for Immortals, right?
Yeah, that one. Yeah,
Requiem for Immortals is our next one.
Yep.
So we will be diving into that next. Very exciting. Little change of pace. Remember to follow us on Instagram. We got TikTok going. We're posting a lot these days with all the Season 3 hype. We also have our Patreon as well if you want to check us out on there and get some behind-the-scenes content and sometimes some extra episodes and all that fun. Or if you just want to support the homies. But with that being said... Church is adjourned.
Man.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Is praising this book fulfilling her own kink?
Oh.
Makes you think.